Turn with me, if you would, back to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew 2, let's read these verses again. Matthew 2, verse 1, it says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." As I thought on tonight's service this week, studying for it and just preparing myself for it, I was very excited for this service. I just felt like it would be a special service. I felt like it would be a special time together. And that's not because we have an annual holiday coming up. It's because we have come to the place in Matthew where these wise men have reached the Savior and they have rejoiced, I believe we could say, with joy unspeakable, and fallen down before him to worship him. These men had the privilege of seeing Christ to be their all. And they left all. They left all. They left everything. They left everyone. They set everything that was of any importance to them aside in order to seek the Lord Jesus Christ, and to come to this Lord and Savior and to worship him. They left everything to worship him. It is reported by some that they traveled for as much as 2 years. It was not just, you know, a night's journey. That's a long time. That's a long time. Herod, when he found out that he was mocked by them, he slew all the children, 2 years old and younger, according to the time which he had inquired of the wise men. When did you see that star? When did you start following that star? So they had traveled a long way. That's a long way. And in this moment of them finally reaching him, I envision that moment as being a very solemn moment. There's a song that's not in our hymnal, and we don't sing it necessarily, but the song says, "Oh, holy night." That's what I think of this. just a solemn, quiet, awe-filled, special moment. Can you imagine that moment? Just a special moment. Because they were led by a star, I envision it being at night. It doesn't necessarily say it was at night, but in my mind, that's how I have it envisioned, that they came at night. And I envision Joseph and Mary very quietly sitting, either by a fire or by candlelight, staring at the Lord of glory. That's what I envision them doing. Because our Lord was sinless, He was perfect. Our Lord was perfect. He was so perfect. There was no unnecessary crying. Those of you who have had a newborn baby in the house, there was no unnecessary crying. There was no unruly temper tantrums. He was perfect. He only brought joy and peace to that house. That's all He brought. Gladness, happiness, joy, and peace. And I can see these wise men who have been following this star for such a long time, realizing the star has stopped. That it kept moving, so they kept following it. And finally, they realized the star has stopped over this house. He's here. We found Him. We made it to Him. I can see them being absolutely overcome with excitement. It says when they saw in verse 10 that the star had stopped, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And I can see them being so excited and so nervous to go knock on that door. Just overcome. But they go and knock. I can see them knocking on the door. And I can see Joseph answering the door. And I can see them saying to him, "Sir, I know you don't know us, but we've been following this star. We have been following this messenger of light that has been pointing us to this place. All this time, it has been pointing us to this one place. And we have followed this star all the way from the East Country. And the reason we've come here is because it was told to us that an eternal Savior would be born right here, right now. And sir, all we want to do is we just want to come in and bow down before Him and worship Him. That's all we want to do." And I can envision Joseph leading them, saying, "Yeah, come on in. We were told the same thing. Come on in." I can see Joseph leading them to where the Lord was. And the moment they laid eyes on Him, they knew who they were looking at. They knew exactly who they were looking at. And I can see them, without saying one word, bending their knee, going down to the ground, and in the quietness of their soul, thanking God for allowing them to see what they're seeing and allowing them to enter into what they're entering into. I imagine every one of them being speechless. I don't envision a lot of conversation in that house at that moment. I envision them being absolutely speechless, and one by one, they lay their gifts at His feet. One by one, they cast their all upon Him. And being filled with the thrill of hope, knowing who that is and realizing He came. He's here. He fulfilled the promise. Being filled with the thrill of hope, those weary men rejoiced And then they go home another way. Now, this is what I want us to consider for just a moment. I want us to realize just how blessed those men were. I want us to enter in for just one moment to the fact that those men were counted among the most blessed men in all the world. Those were the most blessed people this world has ever known. Just to be told about him. You know, that star could have appeared to anyone. And just to be told about him, just in the fact that they were selected to be told about him, and in the fact that they were given faith to believe what they were told. And they didn't stand there and watch the star leave and say, well, I got work to do right here. Can't quit my job. Just in the fact that they were given a desire to leave all and to follow the messenger of light to seek him. Oh, how blessed they were to seek him. And oh, how blessed they were to find him. And how blessed they were in the fact that they knocked and it was opened to them. And they were allowed the privilege of seeing the Savior and casting their all upon him. Oh, how blessed they were. How blessed they were. Just like another man here in the scripture named Simeon. And some other men who were shepherds. If you turn with me over to Luke chapter 2, these other men were given the same privilege. Luke chapter 2, verse 6. It says, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And oh, how blessed every soul is who can do that same thing. Glorify and praise God for everything that has been told to them from this word concerning their Lord and Savior. Oh, how blessed. Look at verse 21. It says, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now you talk about a blessed man. What if that was revealed to you? What if that was revealed to you? What if God's Holy Spirit revealed to you that you would not see death before you had seen the Lord's Christ? Would you consider yourself to be a blessed person? If before you left this world, the Holy Heavenly Spirit of God Almighty, I'm talking about God in the Spirit, if He came to you and revealed to you, if He pointed you to and showed you God manifest in the flesh, would you consider yourself to be a blessed person? If you had the ability in this life on earth, before you left it, to bend your knee and bow to and call upon and worship the Lord of glory, would you consider yourself to be a blessed person? If God has revealed who Christ truly is to us, we are. He has, and we are. If we have seen Christ for who He truly is, oh, how blessed we are. Every child of God, every single child of God will be allowed the honor and the privilege of experiencing what these wise men experienced and what these shepherds experienced and what Simeon experienced. Every child of God, before he leaves this world, by faith, with his eyes of faith, will see the Lord's Christ. Every single one. Everyone will bow before. Everyone will lay hold of. Everyone will worship the Lord's Christ. Every child of God will experience this right here. Verse 26, Luke 2, verse 26. It was revealed unto Simeon by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took Simeon the Lord Jesus Christ up in his arms. Mary came in holding this child, and Simeon said to her, "May I hold your child for a moment?" And he took him up in his arms, and he blessed God. And he said, "Lord, I can die in peace now. Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word." Now I can leave this world. Now I can die in peace. Verse 30, he said, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." I've seen your salvation, not mine, not anybody else's. I've seen yours. "Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." Verse 30, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel." He said, because of a fall into sin, This child has been set by God to raise them again. Set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Aser. She was of great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. Now God has selected a particular people to be blessed in seeing the Christ for who he is. What I want us to see is if God has allowed us to be among those people. Are we blessed of the Lord? Have we seen the Christ? Have we seen the Christ? Have we seen God's salvation? God's provided salvation. Without the revelation of God's Holy Spirit, we read things like this, and you hear that the Holy Spirit of God Almighty came and revealed this to a person. Well, that's what he does to every one of his people. Without the revelation of the Holy Spirit, the world can only see him as the world sees him. It's all the world can do. But when the Spirit reveals him to the blessed ones, they see him as he is. Now, are we among the blessed? Who did those wise men see? And those shepherds, who did they see? Who was Simeon holding? What think we of Christ? What think we of Christ? Who is he? Who is he? Have we been allowed the privilege of bowing the knee and casting our all on the Holy One of God? The Holy One of God. Are we among the world or are we among the blessed? That's our question. Listen to these scriptures. All right. Isaiah 54 verse 5 says, "For thy maker is thy husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall he be called." He said, the one who made you is the one who married you. What's his name? The Lord of hosts. What's his name? Thy Redeemer. The one who redeemed you. The very one who hung on that cross to redeem you. What's his name? His name is the Holy One of Israel. You remember when those devils said to our Lord, they said, "Have you come to torment us? We know who you are. The Holy One of Israel." We know that's who you are. What is his name? The God of the whole earth shall he be called. Have we been allowed to see that? Don't turn to this, but in Isaiah 45, he said, "I am the Lord, and there is no God else beside me. I am a just God and a Savior." I'm both. The just God and the Savior. I'm both. Have we been allowed to bend the knee to that? John 1 verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Verse 14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." 1 Timothy 3:16 says, "Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." He was justified in the Spirit. He was seen of angels. He was preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Have we been allowed the privilege of casting our all on that? If so, we're a blessed people. If we've been allowed to come to that, if we have been drawn to Him, we're a blessed people. All right, now with that, listen to this. I'm not one to call out names, so I'm not going to, but a dear sister sent me this. And this is just wonderful. All right, this is wonderful. Have we seen who this is? Have we ever seen God's Christ? Have we ever seen God's salvation? Thus it was written of this God manifest in the flesh. All right, Genesis 3 told us of this woman's seed who would come for the purpose of having his heel bruised. Exodus told us of the Passover lamb. And God said, when I see the blood of that lamb, I'm going to pass over my people. Job cried, I know that my Redeemer liveth and that he's coming in some latter days. He's going to stand on this earth and he's going to accomplish something for me. David cried, blot out my transgressions. I'm crying to you. Isaiah cried, bear our sins and carry our iniquities. Call this God our Savior. Call this just and holy God our Savior, because He is going to accomplish something. And the angels told those shepherds we just read about, this shall be a sign to you. You're going to find this child wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now, this is a historical account. I don't know who wrote this, but this is a historical account of something that was commonly performed in ancient Israel. This was a common practice back in ancient Israel. It says, mangers were feeding troughs. And in ancient Israel, they were made of stone. And there was a picture of one. It looked like a little canoe. Little small carved out stone. All right, so mangers were feeding troughs. And in ancient times, they were made of stone. That is why priests who lived near to Bethlehem, near a hill known for raising sacrificial lambs, would put lambs in them. Not all the lambs, just the ones they thought were without blemish and suitable for the blood sacrifices that took place twice a day, sacrifices to cover sin. The priest wanted to keep the lambs without bumps and bruises, so they'd wrap them up tightly. They would swaddle them, wrapping them in cloths like precious and terribly fragile bottles of wine. And they'd lay them in a manger. There was only a small group of people who would understand this practice and its significance besides the priest. And that small group of people who understood that practice were the shepherds who were over the flock of sacrificial lambs. And they were the very ones who heard the words, you are going to find a baby, not an actual lamb. You're going to find a baby wrapped in cloths, swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Those shepherds knew what the cloths and the manger meant. And they said, "This will be a sign to you," and it was. It wouldn't have been a sign to many, but to them, most definitely. And this sign was staggering. The long-expected king wasn't headed to a palace. They immediately knew he was headed to a sacrifice. And they knew what that sacrifice meant. It meant peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. In the Lord who came, the world sees a baby. The blessed see a sacrifice. A sent sacrifice that willingly came down. The world just sees a man. The blessed see God. The God-man. The world sees one who at that moment was born into a beginning. The blessed see one who at that moment was born the Ancient of Days, who had no beginning. The world sees one who came to give his example. The blessed see one who came to give his blood. He said, "For this cause came I into the world." The world sees one who came to try and is still trying. The blessed see the one who came to accomplish, and he finished it. The world sees the one who showed us the way, and the blessed see the one who is the way. The world sees him to be most of our salvation, and the blessed see him to be all of our salvation. Now, who do we see? When we look at him, when we look at this one who came, who do we see? What think we of Christ? If in our hearts we honestly, truly do bow to him, when you see that baby wrapped in those clothes, laying in that manger, knowing what that means, if we truly do bow to him and worship him for that, and cast our all upon that, then we're a blessed people. Blessed of God. And in seeing what the Holy Spirit of God has revealed to us, after we see it, we can go on our way rejoicing, glorifying and praising God. However long it did take for those wise men to seek the Lord before they found him, after they saw him and they bowed to him and worshiped him, they had to travel all the way back home. However long it took them to get there, they had to travel all the way back home. And I've thought about this before. You think about their conversation on the way back home. You think about that conversation, that rejoicing. You know they had a pep in their step as they were leaving that place. And that's how it is for all of the blessed. All of the blessed are right now traveling home. We've seen him, haven't we? And we are right now traveling home. And because we have seen him, it makes for some excellent conversation. When the blessed get together, all they want to talk about is him. That's it. Who he is, what he did. And every time we do, it puts a pep in our step. Glorifying and praising God. Don't we thank God for the things that we have seen and heard concerning him? Thank God for calling us, leading us to Christ, revealing him to us, giving us a heart to bow and to worship and to cast our all upon him. Thank God for his unspeakable gift. Oh, that child laying in that manger. Who that was. What that meant. Thank God for His unspeakable gift, His birth, His life, His death, His resurrection. Thank God we bow to Him. We worship Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Christ our Lord. We're going to sing that together. Let's all stand.